Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome. I'm Jim Simmons, and we are pleased to have you join us for this very special broadcast. And now, here is the pastor of Ask the Pastor, author, teacher, and speaker, Dr. Charles Lyons. Doctor, how are you this evening?
Well, very fine, Jim, and I thank you for being so kind, and especially want to thank our listeners who will be with us, because this is a very special broadcast. We're celebrating Independence Day, celebrating July 4th, and we have something very special. We've got a special guest coming with us. You'll hear about it in just a moment, but we're going to save our time for our guest. So, Jim, why don't you get us started off the right way by opening us in prayer tonight.
Heavenly Father, we bow our heads and our hearts in reverence to you. We want to express our love and our admiration to you and for uniquely creating us and for saving us and, as you promised, providing for us. Father, we ask you to continue your hedge of protection around this nation. We especially thank you for Jesus, who paid our ransom with his blood. I pray, Lord, that you would superintend this program tonight and give Dr. Lyons the exact words you would have him deliver. We pray further that this program will be a blessing and a comfort to those who hear it. In the name above all names, the name of Jesus, we make this prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Tonight we welcome Jarhead Six, a retired U.S. Marine, disabled veteran, and YouTube host with almost 4 million views. Over 26,000 subscribers, he does videos and a live weekly podcast. It is with great pleasure we welcome a man of personality, passion, and patriotism. Fabian, welcome to Ask the Pastor Now.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
Well, thank you, Fabian. And I really, again, just want to thank you for your service. Thank you for all that you do. And let's focus in on that for just a moment. You served our country as a Marine, and actually, as I understand it, 2 deployments. Wasn't that right?
Well, way more than that.
Oh, okay. Could you tell us a little bit more?
Yes, we got 2 deployments in Iraq back in 2003 to Operation Iraqi Freedom 1. Then again, mm-hmm. Operation Iraqi Freedom 2 in 2004. I did also 12 months in Afghanistan in 2010, and I spent about 6 months on a ship, USS Kearsarge and USS Gunstall, back in 2007.
That's a pretty amazing time then.
Yeah, it was a good time. Being able to hang around with Marines and being able to serve the country is just an amazing thing to do, and I really enjoyed it.
Well, that's just great. Any special experiences that you had during that time you could be able to share with us?
Yeah, the Marine Corps is a place where you're going to experience a lot of things. I mean, a basic Marine that does 4 years could potentially experience something that, you know, many people don't. Just being able to travel and being able to spend time with brothers is just an amazing thing. I mean, obviously, combat is something that you don't forget, but just hanging around with Marines is a great thing.
In fact, let's go there for a moment. One of the things that I've always been impressed with about the Marines is a strong sense, not just simply of the Corps, but also of a sense of family, I mean, a brotherhood. Can you share some of the things, how do they go about instilling such a strength of character amongst those men who are Marines? In fact, let me say men and women for that matter.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, once you actually depend on each other's job to survive a situation, mm-hmm. it creates that bond between the brothers. I mean, you you get placed in a position where you have, you know, your fellow brothers will be there for you, no one else. And like I say, you know, being in combat or doing combat operations or being deployed, you actually depend on your brother, and you spend so much time with him. I mean, you spend so much time in the desert or on a ship. I mean, every single day that you do create that bond. So, but going through difficulties, you know, if you ever find yourself in a really difficult moment, and going with a person, it's just going to create that brotherhood.
That's powerful. I really appreciate that. Let me ask you something else, and this may be a little off subject, but I think it's important for us to think about. What is it that we here back in the States can be doing to better help the Marines and all of our service personnel, and especially their families?
You know, that's interesting, because I typically talk to a lot of people about this, and I think that we got to be alert. We got to know what's mm-hmm. going on. We got to be able to kind of stay away from the social media, Facebook, and all this, all the issues that may not be as important, and pay attention to what's going on in the country. And I'm talking about the political issue, you know, who we're voting for, who's running for president, or who's going to be the next, whatever. You know, we need to be in touch with that, because this is the people that are making decisions that it's going to affect the troops. So what I'm saying is that right now we have the situation in Syria, or, you know, any situation with ISIS or anything like that. Voting for the right person will make sure that our troops are safe. We vote for the wrong people. Next thing you know, we're going to have our troops going to combat, and our troops are the ones that are going to suffer, because they will follow orders. If a president decides that we got to go to point A, we're going to go to point A. Yeah, I don't know if that's making any sense.
It really does.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. You know, I was just curious. I did not. I was in college, so I did not serve in Vietnam. But I have often wondered, the flight over, I don't know how many hours it is, but when you went to Iraq, which is where the Garden of Eden was, did you have any thoughts about, I think you were not a Christian when you first went into the Marine Corps, so I wondered if any of that occurred to you then. And then I wonder, what was it like? I mean, the anticipation, I would think y'all would be nervous and scared a little bit, even though you're well-trained and wanting to engage. But when you stepped off that plane and the desert heat hit you, and you thought, wow, where am I? What was that like?
Oh, it was crazy. I mean, you know, just like you said, I was not a Christian when I joined the Marine Corps. And to this point, I think I've been saved, what, about 4 years? So, I don't know. Sometimes I think to myself that I'm still a baby Christian, and I'm still learning. But we all learn. I mean, it takes your entire life to get to try to get to that righteous path. But I got to tell you, it was crazy to see when something actually happened. And I give you an example. 2004, I went to Iraq. It was my second tour in Iraq. And a lot of guys that were there were the first tour. So I'm coming to this combat deployment on my second tour, but the majority of the guys were in the first tour. So no matter how much we tell them, hey, look, this could happen. This, you know, we need to pay attention to this, and we need to do that. I mean, it's nothing like when something really happened. That's when you actually learn. And the first time that we hit a car bomb, which it was December 22nd of 2004, our convoy got attacked by a car bomb, and which was devastating. You know, it hit a couple of trucks in front of me, and it burned people alive, and it was just a horrible situation. But right up to that point, you could just tell in the Marine space that we weren't playing anymore. It was not a joke. You know, like, people woke up to that, and it's kind of sad, because that's kind of how we are wired. We are wired to wake up, you know, to be more reactive and proactive. And that's one of the things why I stress on my channel a lot of times. You know, be proactive to a situation. Don't wait until something happens for you to do something about it. And again, I'm not saying that those guys were doing a good job, but a lot of times when something happens, that's when you actually see the people's reaction and you actually see people saying, "Oh wow, this is not a joke. We really need to prepare to face this type of situation." And I mean, it was a really bad attack, and you know, those kind of things you don't forget. I don't know if that makes any sense, but you don't forget those things.
No, it sounds like you remember December 22nd, 2004. Well, let me ask you, when that occurred, I mean, was that within the first day or the first week, or how soon after you got there did that occur?
Well, that was, I want to say I got to Iraq, second tour, it was August of 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And Fallujah just started, and Fallujah was one of the biggest battles. And it was recently in the news, you know, that Iraqi lost the city to ISIS. But Fallujah was one of the worst battles that was in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And it just started. And the moment that started, we started taking a lot of contact and things like that. But I mean, the moment that you get to that country, you know, you got to watch yourself. I mean, constantly, you have to have a plan to survive. And you know, sadly, I tell people, hey, if you're not ready for this, there's a possibility that you may get killed and you may not come back. So, and that's why a lot of guys have issues when they come back, because it's not a switch. It's not something that you could turn on and turn off very quick. You know, guys
mm-hmm.
come back and they have that issue trying to turn that switch off, you know, and trying to go back to your basic life.
Wow.
Seems pretty rugged. I just, you know, I not being there and just seeing things on the news, and I think you're so on target. We are facing a big political decision. Benghazi just, the report on Benghazi just came out, and I would be curious what your reaction to this 800-page congressional report about Benghazi. Do you think our administration was at fault, or did you see any areas that we were negligent?
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing that I'm seeing, and it's kind of difficult to make an opinion about that based on the fact that we don't know what really happened, you know. And,
right.
And it feels like they're lying to us in a way, you know, the whole emails, we can't find the emails, or the emails were erased. The
mm-hmm.
whole story on that, and it just feels that sometimes it's better to say the truth. You know, sometimes it's better to say, look, we messed up, or we didn't mess up, or this is what truly happened, and be sincere about a situation than going around a point. I mean, to me, I don't even know what to believe anymore.
Right.
And I think the American people are to that point that they don't even know what to believe. I mean, there's so many lies and so much corruption. And you know, it doesn't really surprise me. I mean, Jesus is the answer. And it feels like we are going
Absolutely.
Away from that. And the more that, you know, my pastor, I love my pastor. I love my my church, Pastor Mike DeRoche. And he always says, the more that you go away from Jesus, the more sense that you're going to see. And the more, you know, the more you get closer to Jesus, the better you're going to live. And that's kind of like his little saying that he does. He kind of do like a little dance. It's kind of cool when he does it. But I mean, we feel like we're going away from God. And the more that we're going away from God, the more issues that we see. And to me, I wish it would be somebody that is running for president, or someone that just speaks the truth and love mm-hmm. God. But it's going to be hard to get that, right? And we can continue to pray.
Absolutely.
Well, you're not being very politically correct there, Fabian. You know, it sounds like you've got a real opinion, but I think you share the opinion most of us have. It just, you know, why do you have to beat around the bush? Why can't you just say, this is the way it is? And, you know, I think people would hear the truth and they would adjust to it, and I think they would appreciate a leader that tells you the truth. I would dare say that the Marine sergeants and lieutenants and captains told you the truth because they wanted you to be prepared for it instead of beating around the bush and say, hey, this is going to be a walk in the park, when I've not seen anything on TV or reports I've heard that anything about military service is a walk in the park.
No, and it's not, you know, and I talk to people all the time, and first of all, you know, I just say that combat, and I was just talking to a kid the other day at work that wants to be a Navy SEAL, and I have no idea what is to be a Navy SEAL. I was not a Navy SEAL. I was a U.S. Marine. I made it to the rank of Staff Sergeant. I retired with the rank of Staff Sergeant for having medical issues. You know, I had to have back surgery. And all those deployments took a toll on my body. And I got to a point where I couldn't even walk. I was 29 years old with a cane. I mean,
goodness. Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't. Sometimes I couldn't even dress myself. And bless the Lord, now I'm in a place where I could do stuff. After years, you know, been a few years since then.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these kids are asking for things that I don't know if they truly know how it's going to be. You know, going to Iraq, going to Afghanistan, going to those combat situations, it's not pretty. It's not like games. It's not like Call of Duty.
Right.
You know, I tell kids all the time, this is not Call of Duty. It's going to affect you mentally. It's going to affect you physically. It's going to affect your family. Like,
mm-hmm.
we forget about the families. You know
yeah.
how many Marines are divorced? How many Marines don't even know their children because they spend months and months and months in different countries? I mean, I have Marines that miss the children's birthdays and children's births and children's everything. Why,
right.
You know,
right.
anniversaries. I mean, leaving for 12 months, it's a long time. So I kind of go back to my first point, you know. If we have to go and fight an enemy, we have to make sure it's for the right reasons, not because whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, definitely not a political reason, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And like you say, you know, speaking the truth, like sometimes I feel to myself that I don't even know if it's going to be the right reasons. I don't even know if we're doing it to truly defend the country or we're doing it because,
mm-hmm.
you know, something else. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some economic or political agenda or something we're trying to gain simply to further our economy. So, yeah. And I wonder, when you're over there, Fabian, did you ever have the thought, who's in charge? Who's in control? You weren't a Christian yet. And, of course, you would say that today. You'd say, well, of course, God's in control, and I know that now. But then you weren't aware as much. And did you ever get over there and wonder if the American government even knew you were still there?
You know, we don't think too much about those things when you're there.
No.
I try to keep my, kind of like my game, you know, my head in the game and try not to think about too many stuff because, like I said, it is truly, I mean, it all depends what kind of missions you get assigned to. I was a military policeman, so I got assigned to do a lot of patrols and, you know, a lot of escorts where we move personnel, we move gear, we protected a specific person from point A to point B. So when you're there, you kind of have to get your head in the game and you have to pay attention because it is truly a job where if you're not paying attention, you could die. I mean, it's truly like that.
Wow.
I mean, you'd be driving down a road and if you're not paying attention, you know, an IED, you could miss an IED. And I mean, it's difficult already to see an IED when you're driving 40 miles per hour. But you can miss something like that. A bomb can go off. And I mean, it's a lot of issues. So the problem comes when you come back to the United States and you realize everything that you did. That's when you actually start thinking, oh, I wonder why we did this. Or I wonder why we did that. Or, you know, was this really necessary? You know, my buddies got killed. Was it really necessary to do that? And that's why I think a lot of guys have issues because, again, you know, trying to find answers to something that there's probably not any good answers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a question that I get all the time, you know, like, if God is in control, how come this happened?
Right.
If God is in control, how come, you know, an active shooter killed 50 people? And I mean, sometimes you can't find answers to those things.
Well, let me take just a moment and remind our audience that if you would like to leave a comment for us or for Fabian, you can email your comment to ask@askthepastornow.com, or you can call us live at 1-866-275-4472, and you would choose option 1 to leave your question. All right.
Fabian, let me also mention that some of our folks, because we obviously talked in the last 2 weeks about you being on the program, have taken the time to leave us some messages. They've turned out not to be so much questions as much as just words of encouragement. So let's listen to a couple of those now and give you a chance to hear those as well.
Hi, this is Terry, and I'd like to say hi to Jarhead 6. Thank you for your service, and I hope you have a great July 4th.
Hi, Jarhead 6. Say hello to your little brother.
Happy 4th of July, Jarhead 6. This is Jan. Hope you had a great day. I really enjoy your channel. And as always, don't forget, God is in control.
It's a good thing to remember, isn't it?
Yeah, that is amazing. Thank you so much, everyone.
Absolutely.
We got some others we'll get to, but, you know, that's sort of the focus, the way you always close out your recordings, which I think is great, to remind people that God is in control. You know, you mentioned when you began your career you were not a Christian. Could you take just a moment and share with us how you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes. You know, that's it's an interesting story because when I met my wife, I was in a position where I had a lot of things. You know, I had a decent job. I had, you know, decent money. You know, I had a lot of material things. But what I didn't have in my life was peace. And the devil was tormenting, you know, it would just mess with me, mess with my head. And it was constantly, you know, so many deployments, so many bad things that happened that it was constantly attacking me. And I met my wife, and my wife barely had anything when it comes down to material stuff. But she had Jesus, you know, and she was so... And I think this is why it's important to testify, because people are looking at us and people are seeing the way that we act as Christians. And she was just happy. And I remember one time she told me that she wanted to get something to drink, but she didn't even have money to buy a drink. And to me, you know, making all this money and having all this money in my bank account at that point, now that I have much now, but back in those days in my Marine Corps career, I couldn't understand why she was so happy and she had no material things. So, you know, that kind of intrigued me. I was like, why are you so happy? Why are you so peaceful? And I wanted that. I truly wanted that. You know, at one point you realize that life is not about having a good job, having good money, having a good car. That's nothing compared to what Christ got to offer. And I truly wanted that, and I continue to seek for that. And now I have it. And now, I mean, I got peace. And that's why I tell a lot of my veterans, my friends, you know, you're still going to deal with issues. You're still going to deal with situations. You're still going to remember some things that happened to you. You still can't explain those things. But if you want peace, you know, Christ is a Prince of Peace.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just love that peace. You know, that now I can see the devil coming to attack me, and I know what I need to do. Before, I didn't know. And you know, that's I guess that's why we see, you know, 22 veterans a day killing themselves, because they truly don't have that peace that they need to have. And so I mean, it was a process. It wasn't one of those, you know, some people are truly blessed and they wake up one day and they're saved. To me, it was kind of like a process It took me a little bit of time, but you know, God says you draw near to me and I draw near to you. And here we are 4 years later, and I'm loving it.
Oh, that's wonderful. So thankful to have that transition, to have that trust. And, you know, we do an awful lot of calling. We have a call center, and we, on an annual basis, talk to about 23,000 people. And I have noticed, you know, there was a time when people sort of wanted to argue and talk about religion. I said, that doesn't cut it. You know, what I really see now is people are just hungering for peace. They're troubled, and they need something that will do that, and what they wind up needing is a someone who can do that. So I really appreciate what you said there. I hope people who are listening will understand you can have peace. That's something we can have regardless of the economy, and trust in that. You know, I do listen to your station on YouTube. I pick up very quickly. You've even said something about it already this evening, about you have a great relationship with your pastor. Could you tell us a little bit more about him and about the church?
Yeah, well, our church is we got a really awesome church. I mean, I just love it, and it's called Spirit Life Worship Church, and mm-hmm. we actually started a YouTube channel as well, which is called Pastor on Call. So if you go into YouTube and you type Pastor on Call, it comes out. But my pastor's name is Pastor Michael DeRoche. And he's just an excellent man of God. You know, he's a great teacher, and he's just a great person. And I truly like the way he preached, because mm-hmm. I don't go to church for somebody to make me feel good. You know, I don't like those motivation speech kind of thing. I need to go to church where I could hear what God has to say. And you know, the pastor has a great connection with the Holy Spirit, and I mean, he brings it down, and that's what I need to do. You know, I don't need to go to church for somebody to make me feel good. I need to go to church for somebody to teach me what God has to say. And sometimes I need to come out of church and I need to make changes in my life, and it happens every day, and I pray for that to happen to me every single time. I need to come out of there saying, wow, I can't believe I'm doing this. I need to change it, because I got a mission, and my mission is to be more mm-hmm. like Jesus. And you know, listening to the Word of God is just unbelievable. And I mean, I know a lot of people that say, well, we don't go to church and this and that. I would encourage everybody to go to church, a really good church, because we got to listen to the Word of God, because the enemy is going to come to attack you. And if you don't know the truth, it's like having an empty gun. If you carry a gun with no bullets, you know, I tell you what, sometimes I'm at work and I could feel the enemy getting ready to attack me. I could just see it coming. I don't know if you ever had that sensation, that feeling. He's on the way. And I tell myself, devil, walk away from me. I know who I am. And if you don't listen to a good church, I mean, how are you going to get your rounds? How are you going to get your ammunition? You need mm-hmm. to know. I mean, that's just the point. But it's a beautiful church here in Palm Coast, and I just love it. I've been going there for quite some time now, and me and Pastor Mike been working in the YouTube channel. I help recording the videos and stuff like that. Obviously, he does the preaching, and it's working out fine. And, you know, a lot of people are listening to the message. The YouTube channel is growing a lot, and, you know, one of the great things about YouTube that your message could get spread all over the place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just amazing.
Well, could I just build on something you said a little earlier? I believe you said there are 22 veterans take their life every year, every day. Every day. So with that knowledge, do you have an idea what we could do as people that would love to help? What can we do to help stop that or to eliminate
that? You know,
that?
I said...
What could we
obviously
do?
Obviously, there's things that we need to be educated on to be able to identify those... to be able to identify people that have that type of... what is the system, but to be able to identify some indicators.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times, mm-hmm. you know, like they teach you in the Marine Corps, if you have a guy that is giving his possessions away, or if they got a guy that used to be really happy, but now he's sad. I mean, there's some indicators that would tell you that that person is about, you know, is thinking about committing suicide. But I think the biggest thing is just going to be loving people, you know, listening to people, you know, telling people, letting people know that God is here for them and God has amazing plans for them. And I talked to a guy, I want to say about a couple of days ago, I was at work and I was talking to this guy. This guy is it was a special forces guy, Army, served, I want to say served about 8 years. And he was in one of the biggest battles in Iraq. I mean, it was a suicide mission. So this guy has seen combat in a totally different level than me. I mean, this guy has truly done some, what I consider to be some crazy stuff, you know. And he's just going through a lot of issues. And I said, look, first of all, man, you need to protect your ears because the devil will come and tell you things that are not true. The devil is a liar.
Absolutely.
And I tried to tell him how much God loves him and how many, you know, how many plans God has for his life. And I think some of these people have no plans. Some of these people feel like everything is done. You know, your life is done.
Mm-hmm.
What can you do now? You know, a lot of the veterans feels like, hey, you know, I left the military. I can't do nothing anymore. And,
right.
And remember, some of those guys were in really high positions of leadership. So for men, when you take that away from some of the guys, they feel really down because no longer they're staff sergeants, no longer they're sergeants. Sergeants first class where they led Marines or they led soldiers. Now they're just a regular dude with no job, with physical issue. You know, maybe they can't walk or they have all this injury. So a lot of times it's just good to tell them, hey, you know what? God loves you. God has a plan for you. And if you keep believing, God is going to do amazing things for your life. And we got to be that example, you know. We have to be an example for people to follow. And, you know, a lot of times people say preaching, you have to go there preaching. But giving that example is more powerful sometimes than preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Just doing the right thing, you know. It's just amazing. Mm-hmm. When people can see you and see what's wrong with that guy. What does that guy have? I want what that guy has. Amen.
Well, you then in your mind, Fabian, in your mind, the only real answer for these that are struggling and that are showing these signs and these indications along the way that something is not right, in your mind, the only answer is
that was,
Jesus, correct?
I should have just said it that way. Well,
I'm saying there's not a government program. There's, you know, I think you hit on a couple of things, and that is that feeling of worthlessness. You don't have a job. You've got some limitations emotionally and physically. And there's nothing there for you. Do you think we could improve with our job situation? In other words, give incentive to hire veterans and get them back into a productive life. But I think you're pointing out that without Jesus,
I mean, truly,
none of that works.
You know, I did a lot of those. I went through a period in my life where I went through a lot of those things, you know. I went through the counseling, or I went through this program, or I went to a specific programs that the military had to help me recover. And truly, the answer is Jesus. And
yeah.
I mean, you know, I talked to a guy. I want to say a couple of months ago was having a lot of issues, and I told him that. I said, man, look, I don't know what to tell you. I could tell you that the VA is going to work. I want to tell you that, you know, counseling is going to work, but none of those things work for me.
Mm-hmm.
The true answer is Jesus, because he is the Prince of Peace. He's going to give you something that no man can give you. You know, when you get that connection with the Holy Spirit, that comes from God. That doesn't come from a man. We tend to mess things up. That's pure power, and God changes people's life. I mean, I've never witnessed a man changing somebody's life like God does. I mean, God has the power
that's awesome.
I mean, it makes me smile, you know? Like, when he says, I'm going to do something, he's going to do it. He doesn't play around. And that's why you can put your trust in him, because he means business.
And that's
well,
how I feel.
Well,
you know,
one of
cannot,
the things that...
We just can't afford to have the luxury of being silent. I think too often, you know, we've gotten a hold of Jesus Christ. We have this power within us because he said he would indwell us with power and strength and focus, and we get into his word, and then we go quiet when we go out into a restaurant, we see somebody hurting, or we walk down the street and we see somebody that's, you know, they're just totally focused on, but it's like they're void of real life and real passion. And so I think we do an incredible injustice to this world when we who are the believers who know Christ as Savior, we go silent and we don't speak up and tell them, look, you can have peace, that there is an answer. And just, you know, people think this testimony business is something about, like, you have to be up on the platform. They don't seem to understand a testimony is simply saying, this is what happened to me. This is how my life changed. And that should help people to realize there's hope. Go ahead.
The blind guy. I mean, the blind, I tell this to a lot of people because my pastor told me this at one point. Sometimes we think that we need to learn everything about the Bible to be able to preach, to be able to testify. And Pastor Mike was talking about something the other day that kind of like it hit me, and I started thinking about this. The first, you know, when the New Testament came out, it was probably years later. What if the people actually did during that time? People were getting a revelation from God. There was no New Testament. So how do they know what to do? And I truly thought about that, and he was saying more, hey, look, we need to have less information and more revelation. We need to have that revelation of God and testify to that. And if you remember the blind guy said, I don't know. All I know is that I was blind and now I see.
Absolutely.
So, you know, when you go out there to testify and people ask you, I can tell you, you know what, all I know is that I used to do this and now I don't. I just don't.
Yeah.
You know, I can't quote it every Bible verse, so I can't remember something about a specific book, but all I know is that I used to do this, and now I don't. So you tell me what that is.
That's a great testimony is what that is, and I'm just wondering because, you know, Pastor Charles is a Navy
boy. We like the Navy guy.
My daddy was a Navy man, so I say that jokingly, but
you know, I just wonder when I think of the Marine Corps, and I think of when I was in college taking a student deferment. The last year, I decided no, I wanted to be a Marine. You know why? I'm 5'8" and average height and build. You know, and I wanted to be a tough guy, and the Marine Corps was the toughest. And you know. And I just wonder, how hard is it, knowing what you know, living a life, your testimony, how hard is it to face one of these tough guys that's seen it all and things that we just can't imagine? How hard is it
well, you know
to
what?
Witness
I don't,
to him?
It's not too hard for me because I typically have a connection with those guys.
Right.
So, and I think that's why, you know, sometimes God... Oh, actually, God uses your everything you did for His glory if you allow Him to, and you know that's why it's important. Sometimes you know we go through difficulties in life, and we don't realize that those difficulties we're going to use them to testify later on.
Right.
And you know what? To me, it's not too difficult to connect with the military guys. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, I was talking to that guy, Special Forces, and that guy have done some stuff that is quite impressive to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, sometimes you just got to listen, and sometimes you just got to say, you know what, I understand that you've been through all these issues, but let me tell you something. You don't have to feel that way. You don't have to feel like, you know, life sucks. You don't have to feel like you don't have a place in life. The devil is a liar. And God loves you, and God is going to do amazing things through you, because that's what He's going to do.
The devil's a liar. That's right.
Yeah, I believe that.
Well, I tell you, something else I believe is that, as I said earlier, we've got a couple of folks that wanted to share a couple of words with you. And so here's a gentleman named Matt who called in.
Hello, Jarhead Six. Great to hear you with Jim and Charles. This is Matt. Thank you for all that you do, and thank you for all that you've done. Now get your act together and get down here to Texas.
There you go.
You have your official invitation.
You don't have enough.
It's really hot down here.
Yeah, it
sometimes,
is.
I
definitely.
Wanted to do some things I miss North Carolina because this place down here is hot.
Well, let me.
Here's the lady named Mary that also wanted to share something, and I've got one more after that.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Jarhead 6. This is Mary. Love your channel. Have a great 4th of July.
Thank you. Thank you
and
so much.
Then, and here's a gentleman named Rob.
Wow, Jim and Charles, you finally hit the big time. You got to interview Jarhead 6. This is Rob. God bless and thanks. Semper Fi.
Semper Fi.
Yeah. So, how about that? We made the big time now. We've had Jarhead 6 join us, so that is a blessing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's interesting how this worked because Once I was medically retired from the Marine Corps after 11 and a half years of service, which I didn't want to. You know, I didn't want to get out. I mean, that was not my choice. I wanted to stay in the Marine Corps until I finished my career, 20, 30 years, whatever that was going to be. But you know, medical issues with the back surgery and all that stuff, it was just time to get out. But I got home and I was bored. My wife was working as a detention officer, and I just stayed home all day, and you know I was just bored. So I started watching YouTube videos, and next thing I know, I was like, "Hey, I think I could do this too." And if you watch my first videos, they were horrible, really bad. I mean, two things: I was really skinny, and they were really. I didn't even know to look at the camera. I'd be like looking to the right. And, like, my mother-in-law, she always used to tell me, you need to look at the camera because I would be, like, slightly face to the right or something like that. It was just weird. And it's just unbelievable that 26,600 and something people are subscribed, and the channel continues to grow, you know, 30 to 100 people a day. And it truly humbles me that people come and listen to me and put the comments and – I mean, it just amazes me that anybody wants to listen to me. So, but, I mean, there's people out there looking for information, and that's why it's important to spread whatever you know. You know, it could be anything. It could be military. It could be, you know, maybe spread the word of God or maybe cooking. I don't know. People are willing to listen if you're willing to put the work to put information out there.
Absolutely. In fact, I had sort of fun with it because I have been a long-term watcher of your program, and I said I can tell how old the program is by looking at the length of your hair and the length of your beard as it comes and goes, because it does change. It's sort of the timeline, you know, but it's wonderful. I appreciate your honesty, and I think that's one of the things that comes across very quickly. Is that you're just very honest. And like I say, that's, you know, for those of us who follow your channel, you know, we've seen you relocate, we've seen you move, and we've seen you now there in Florida. And in fact, let me see, y'all are expecting your second child, aren't you?
Oh, number three.
Number three, okay. Must have missed that episode.
We 6.5 months, and you know, bless the Lord. Everything is doing just amazing, and we just can't wait. We just can't wait. I love my family. I love my wife, and I tell people all the time, if you can't say you love your wife, there's something wrong with you. I love my wife.
Yeah.
She's just an amazing woman that loves Christ, and I'm so blessed to have her and my children. It's just amazing.
That's wonderful. Well, let me remind those that are listening that if you'd like to email your comments to us or Fabian, just email ask@askthepastornow.com, or you can call and leave a message, 1-866-275-4472, and choosing option 1. You can do that from the archives.
And on that note, before we go back, let me capture a couple more of our callers who did exactly that.
Happy 4th of July, Jarhead 6. I'm Patrick. Thank you for your service, and remember, God is in control.
And, of course, that's how you close out every one of your programs, isn't it? Yeah. Here was here's a lady with a lot of energy, too, that has a special message.
Hi, Jarhead 6. This is Catherine. What a great way to celebrate America's freedom. We're having our barbecue, drinking sweet tea, just sitting here relaxing, and listening to you guys. Well, we just wanted to say keep up the great work. And, oh, yeah, by the way, bring your little brother next time. He adds extra fun to the show. Bye.
Yeah.
So he does good on the Wednesday night episode.
Yeah, I just texted him too. I say, "Are you gonna come here tomorrow?" And he's like, "Yeah, yeah, we'll be there." You got a topic? And I was like, "No, I don't have a topic. Something would come up." So.
Well, it's really encouraging for folks to see the love that he has for you and the respect he has for you. That's pretty special. Had one other gentleman. I love what he has to say for us. It's pretty special. Here it is.
I don't know what to think about you guys. It's like a gathering of eagles, authors, directors, movie stars, guns, Bibles, and Marines. You got it all. Happy Independence Day, Jarhead 6. This is Keith, and thanking you for your service.
Thank you, sir.
Is that how you were amazing. Typically introduced, that as part of the gathering of eagles?
That's just amazing. I truly appreciate the support that everybody been giving me. It's just amazing.
That is so nice. Tell me, what other areas of social media are you involved with? Obviously, I know seeing the YouTube channel, but what other areas?
Yeah, well, I got that. I also have Instagram. We just started doing it. My wife been helping me out with that as well, and which is Jarhead 6, and also Twitter. We do Twitter as well, Jarhead 6. But I tend to stay in the on the YouTube more, you know, social media, because I feel that, you know, the more comments and the more stuff that we get, it is hard for me to keep up. So I try to stay more into the comments, and I try to answer the comments. A lot of YouTubers don't really answer comments. So I try to answer as many comments as I can, but, you know, sometimes it's way too many. And but people don't realize how much work this is. It's actually a lot of work. So.
And it is pretty amazing. On average, how many videos do you bring up every week?
Well, I go through right now what I'm doing is that I'm doing 4 videos a week. And from those 4 videos a week, then I do also a live show. I've been doing that on Wednesdays. I think I'm going to switch it to Tuesdays pretty soon, because we're going back to Bible Study, and Bible Study goes on Wednesdays. And but I do about 4 to 5, and you know, sometimes I do more. All depends on my schedule. All depends on what I got going on. But I try to stick to 7 p.m. Eastern time, so like that people know to come back around that time, they should be able to see a video. But I do a minimum of 4 to 5 a week for sure.
Well, I was just curious, Fabian, what do you look forward to, and what is there a project you haven't started yet that you would love to do, and what's the future hold for you?
Well, obviously, you know, I like to do more gun reviews, and that's what I'm working towards, and I'm getting to a point where I could do more. Just you know, a lot of subscribers don't realize that it takes money to do videos. So now I'm getting to a point where we finally got associated to a range, you know, from a company locally here. So now we have the ability to go there, shoot some rounds, and we take a discount. We don't have to pay money to do that stuff. So once we get into that level where we could get sponsors, where we could go and shoot more ammo and things like that, we're probably going to be doing more gun reviews, because I really enjoy doing them.
Yeah.
So that's coming up. I'm getting to that point where more companies want to work with me, because based on the numbers, you know, companies like the advertising kind of deal. But
right.
But again, you know, if I like to associate myself with good companies so I could bring good products to the subscribers. Because a lot of guys, you know, a lot of guys want to buy specific items and they want to see reviews, but obviously, you know, those items cost money. So the bigger we get, the more gear reviews we're going to do. But two, I like to, you know, I just like to continue sharing things. I tell people that the channel is about me in a way. Like, I don't, whatever I share, whatever I talk about is because I truly believe in that. You know, a lot of times I don't even prepare for a video. My brother tells me, why don't you write some key points? And I said, no, man, I just want to come here and express what I feel from my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And if it comes out good, it comes out good. Sometimes it comes out bad, and I get in a little bit of trouble. But but that's what I want to do, you know. I mean, I hang around the whole day writing topics. Whatever comes to my heart, I stand in front of a camera, and I talk about it. That's it. That's simple.
Well, is there a conflict at all between weaponry and your reviews of weapons and ammunition and the preparedness that obviously the Marine Corps afforded you and a testimony and being Christ-like? Is there a conflict at all in your mind?
You know, there is no – obviously there's some people – I deal with this question a lot because there are some Christians that feel that you should not own a gun or you should not even protect yourself. And to me, obviously, there's people like me that really enjoy the sport or shooting. Not only I have firearms that I use for self-defense, but I also enjoy shooting. You know, I think shooting is fun for me, you know, going to a range with my brother, my wife, my kids, and being able to shoot a target at a long distance. I mean, I enjoy that. But there's some people that truly believe that, you know, having a gun as a Christian is a bad thing. You should not do that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I truly feel that God commanded us, the men, to protect their families. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is in the Bible what God even says, hey, you know what? Go and get a sword. And if you look at a sword back in those days, that's equaling to a gun right now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, because that was like that. I mean, he didn't say go and get a knife. He said go and get a sword. That was like one of the top things right now, one of the top weapons back in those days. That's what soldiers used to defend themselves.
Right.
So, I'm not saying that people should have, a bunch of guns, maybe like I do because I enjoy the sport. But I think that we need to protect our family.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I get a lot of questions like, oh, if you kill somebody, you're probably going to go to heaven. I mean, hell, I'm sorry. And to me, there is a total difference between killing somebody and protecting yourself and your family. I mean, I think it's totally different. You know, I tell people, Pastor Mike actually said this a lot. It is not a gun issue. It is a heart issue.
Mm-hmm.
Before
right.
you even commit that crime, your heart was wicked already. You had issues already. So I truly feel that a man is responsible to take care of the family. And, you know, I don't know if I have to apologize, but I'm just not going to allow somebody come into my house and kill my wife and kids because he doesn't feel good that day or whatever reason these crazy people have. I'm just not going to allow that. You know, I think it's my responsibility to protect my family.
Well, you know, really right there in Florida, in Orlando, they had, you know, this most recent shooting. And, of course, people are up in arms, and I don't mean firearms. They're up in arms wanting more gun control, more restrictions, and they seem to overlook the real problem. Would you address that from your point of view?
Well, yeah. You know, this is something that I actually made a video about this, and it took like 9,000 views in one day, and people got really mad. And, you know, what we have here, and the moment that this happened, I told my wife, look, this is what truly happened. And then as the news went around, they were saying exactly what I was saying. What we have here is a terrorist attack. I mean, this is not a your regular crime. Somebody got mad, and you know, somebody got into a fight, took out a gun and killed a person. This is totally different. This is a terrorist attack. This guy is what ISIS would call a soldier. You know, just like the United States would call me a soldier or a Marine, this guy is a soldier to them. Remember, to ISIS, we are terrorists. So it's complete the opposite.
Mm.
So this guy is a soldier. This guy had a mission. to kill as many people as he can. This guy did surveillance, just like the military does before attacking a target. This guy got the tools that he needed to accomplish a mission, and this guy committed a terrorist attack in this country, and it's sad that we don't address that. It's sad that the only thing that we – think about this. If you're a terrorist, you come to this country, you kill 50 people, and then the government responds to that is to disarm the people, just making it easier for them. I mean, that doesn't even make any sense to me. And,
absolutely not.
You know, I get it that this guy was born in the United States, but all the terrorist groups are coming here. We are bringing these people here with American tax money. And again, you know, I'm a Christian. I love people, but if we have to be smart. God doesn't say not to be smart. God says to be smart. Be a wise man. So if we don't have a way to conduct a background check or conduct some type of interview or something, we just can't bring you here for you to either recruit, which is what happened to this guy. He was recruited and radical, you know, given radical belief, or to actually conduct an attack to this country. I mean, how can we bring these people here? To me, this is not a gun issue. This is like a homeland issue. I mean, a government issue. I mean, they're not failing to protect American people.
Yeah, homeland security.
Yeah, they just think about this. People think that to invade this country, you know, you have to come in this magical airplane or something and jump out. Or you have to do this crazy stuff. No, that's not how it happens. I mean, you could be a refugee that walked to a checkpoint and say, you know what, 10 minutes ago, keep in mind, 10 minutes ago, I was a terrorist. Now I just dropped my rifle, walked to a checkpoint, and we bring you to this country. And then we give you all the resources that you need to plan an attack against this country. I mean, come on, are we serious?
I know.
Are we truly doing this? I mean, that's not smart at all. And then when the guy commits an attack, our response is gun control. I mean, the FBI just caught a guy a few months ago, an Iraqi refugee that was brought to this country 2 years ago, and he was about to commit a terrorist attack. I mean, this is basic information. I mean, I'm not making this thing up. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I tell you, you know, gun control is not going to stop that. Changing the hearts of these people, that's what's going to change it. And we have to offer them Jesus Christ. We have to make it crystal clear. And we have to stop curtailing every time somebody wants to get up and share the truth of God's word. We have to exercise the freedoms we have before they're taken away. And if they're taken away and we haven't been using them, we deserve it. So we need to stand for something. Very definitely. For those who might be curious, you were hearing what Fabian was sharing about that. If you go back to Ask the Pastor Now two broadcasts ago, which will be 2 weeks, you'll see that we have a link to his message that he put out there that he referred to on his channel. So by all means, you know, you need to get the details of what he said. There was a lot of truth in that, a lot of wisdom in it. So we have to be responsive to the reality that we need to stand for God stronger than we ever have before to share the gospel of Christ. Fabian, I hate to say it, but our time has run away from us. I really do appreciate you coming in and being with us tonight. And, you know, encourage you to take the last 10 seconds and just let people know how they can find you on YouTube.
Yeah, well, I want to say thank you so much for the support. Truly appreciate it. Just go to YouTube and type Jarhead 6, the number 6, and I come out and just be bold out there, you know. Go out there, testify, tell people that God loves you, love them, and don't be embarrassed to spread the gospel. I mean, it's just amazing what God did. We got to tell people about it.
Amen.
Absolutely. And as always, God is in control, right?
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. We will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question on air during a future broadcast. Again, that email address is question@askthepastornow.com. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we invite you to explore our website for great resources. You can also hear previous broadcasts as archives at askthepastornow.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.